from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You know what time it is. On Dukes and Bell, we say it's time to talk some dogs with our buddy Connor Riley from Dog Nation. Connor, let me start here with this. A couple of key injury updates Kirby provided this afternoon. What is the latest? What do we know about two of the stars for the dogs?
Yeah, the big thing out of today, Mykel Williams dealing with a grade 2 ankle sprain. Tried to come back in and play on Saturday. The score, I think, dictated him not necessarily doing that. Georgia's going to be cautious with him. Kirby said today it's not going to be a long-term type injury. He's questionable for this week against Tennessee Tech. Given the opponent, I wouldn't be stunned if we don't see Mykel this weekend. They go to Kentucky next week. I imagine he travels and dresses for that game, and they maybe have a few package plays for him if he continues to heal the right way. The most important thing with Mykel at this point, though, is making sure that he is good to go for that Alabama game at the end of the month, because we saw against Clemson, when he's on the field, he's a difference maker, and Georgia needs players like that against Alabama. They should have more than enough to beat Tennessee Tech this week, and that the same probably goes for True when they go and visit Kentucky next week.
Before we actually start to break down what happened on the field at Mercedes-Benz, Connor, what did you make of Kirby's sort of curt, snide reaction when he was asked by Chip Towers of the AJC about Trevor Etienne's status rather for the game?
Yeah, I mean, Kirby wants to be Kirby about this. He wants to play it close to the vest and not let people know. I think Chip did the right job by asking that question. It's a question that needs to be asked. Kirby has, I think, made this a bigger deal by dragging it out and by keeping it in-house. Thus, the question has to keep being asked. On the ESPN broadcast, they said that Trevor Etienne was suspended due to a university policy, and ESPN's Molly McGrath reported during the telecast as well that Kirby was not forthcoming in terms of, was this going to be a one-game suspension, or is this something where Trevor may not play this week? So the question still lingers there, even though Kirby's made it very clear that he's just not going to talk about it publicly.
What did you make of Carson Beck's performance, as he really had a tale of two halves, as did the entire offense? We'll get to that in just a second. He actually admitted to maybe a little bit of jitterbugs going on in that first half, but he rebounded really nicely.
Yeah, a lot of nerves, a lot of juice going into that game. I think he's put a lot on his shoulders going into this year, knowing that SDU go out and have a big year. And so, you know, missed on a couple throws, not egregiously or anything like that. But, I thought he got better as the game went on. And you see that. You see, especially in the second half, the throws he was making on third down. Didn't have a ton of help in the first half because Georgia couldn't run the ball at all because of the depth at the running back position with where it is right now. But, again, I think you saw everything you needed to from Carson on Saturday. When he needed to be, he was the best player on the field for either side of the football. And you're going to need to see that a lot for Georgia this year as they go play at Alabama, at Texas, at Ole Miss over the course of the football season.
You mentioned the running back room. I don't know exactly what happened or didn't happen. What were you able to glean from what Branson Robinson wasn't able to do and what Nate Frazier was able to do?
Yeah, this was Branson Robinson's first game since January of 2023. He's a year removed from a patella tendon injury, and that's just a very significant injury to come back from, whereas Nate Frazier, when we saw him out of practice earlier this fall, you can just tell he has a different burst to him, a different speed that he can get up to. And I thought you saw that on Saturday, almost immediately getting quicker to the hole. But then even later in the game, you know, he had the big reception at the start of the third quarter. You see him with the big cutback later on. He got better and I think more comfortable as the game went on. And so to have a player like that emerge in your first game, where I think there was a solid expectation of what he'd bring to the table coming into the season, but to get that performance out of him against a stout defense like Clemson, where he goes out and makes a difference, I think it's very, very encouraging for Georgia moving forward, especially eventually when they do get Trevor Etienne back. You do have two sort of different explosive running backs who are going to be able to make plays for you.
Talking all things dogs with our buddy Connor Riley. Follow him on socials at KConnorRiley and check him out at dognation.com. All right, when it comes to the defense, I mean, Connor, what more could you say? I know there were some question marks, particularly maybe about the defensive front coming into this game, but you allow less than 200 yards of total offense, less than 50 yards of total on the ground. You were able to take Maffa essentially out of the game for Clemson. Cade Klubnik had a really clunky afternoon. Just what were your biggest takeaways from the defense?
It became pretty clear about midway through the second quarter that Clemson's just not going to be able to do anything against this Georgia team. Yes, they did hit on a few big plays early, but they weren't doing it consistently enough. And this Georgia defense is so fast in the middle of the field that you're just not going to be able to play side to sideline against them. I thought the inside linebackers were outstanding in this game, made a huge difference. Raylan Wilson looked really, really improved in his second year there. Obviously, Malachi Starks playing all over the field, making the interception. You expect him to make plays like that, as ridiculous as they are. Jalen Walker showing why he's maybe Georgia's best front seven defender, and while he doesn't have necessarily a set position right now, you just have to find a way to get him on the field and he's going to make an impact. I thought it was pretty evident early on that Clemson just did not have the same level of athleticism as that Georgia defense does, and Georgia's going to do that to a lot of offenses this year. I think if there's a way that you're going to have to try and beat this Georgia defense, you're going to have to try and beat them vertically, because there's just too much speed side to side, and as this defensive line gets healthier and they develop some of the younger players, it's only going to get more difficult to try and run against them.
As Dabo and Clemson look to rebound after this game, do you attribute it more to a talent gap issue or a coaching issue?
Probably a talent gap issue, and I know a lot of people want to blame Dabo not bringing in players via the transfer portal as to why that program has slipped off. There's no player that they could have gone out and gotten in the transfer portal that would have fixed the issues that they had against Georgia. Georgia recruits at a top three level every year. Clemson in the last couple of cycles has recruited closer to a top 15 level. And so that gap, no matter who you go out and get from the transfer portal class, they could have brought in the same number of transfers that Ole Miss brought in, and it wouldn't have made a difference on Saturday. But I think to where Clemson is, like, Georgia is so clearly now in a different weight class than Clemson is. And that's the most frustrating thing. Clemson can still very well go on to have a good season, make improvements, maybe even get into the college football playoff. But Saturday so clearly showed that they're just in a different weight class than Georgia right now, and that's where Clemson used to exist 5 years ago.
When it comes to the offensive talent, obviously we saw Carson Beck. We talked about him earlier. But who do you see as the guys that are going to emerge over the course of the season? We mentioned a Nate Frazier. There's a couple of guys that stood out that may not have been on your radar to start the season, but Connor, there was a couple of guys in this one that sort of had a little bit of a coming out party.
Yeah, Georgia, I think, made it a point early to get Arian Smith involved, and especially as a wide receiver in a way they haven't in the past. You know, he's traditionally thought of as been a guy who's just going to go run deep and maybe catch a football for you. They moved him around a lot. They got him the ball in a different way than they have in the past, and I think that's very encouraging for the development for him. Dylan Bell only had 59 total yards in that game, but he very easily could have had over 100. Breaks one or two more tackles there, maybe has a score or two. He cramped up in the second half of that game. He's expected to be fine and good to go. The fact that we got to talk to him after the game is an encouraging sign for him moving forward. And then London Humphreys coming in, you know, after Dylan Bell steps out, has two big catches on third down that I think really transformed that game and helped make it into the blowout that it did. You see big production from those three guys, all of them making impact plays. They're only going to get better as they continue to take more reps with Carson Beck, and they develop better chemistry over the course of the coming season.
Did you glean anything from Alabama's victory that could maybe benefit or even hurt the Dogs in terms of what we're going to see in just a couple of weeks as those two teams ramp up?
No, Georgia is significantly better than Western Kentucky. That's what Alabama should do against a team like that. Teams like Texas, Alabama, Furman, and Georgia, look, Georgia's going to do that this week. I don't take anything, you know, in terms of long-term trends from week one. You learn a lot about teams and who they are by the growth that they show from game one to game two. So, you know, credit to Alabama for going out there and doing what you're supposed to do against Western Kentucky. But there was nothing that Alabama could have done on Saturday that was going to change my mind about what they might be able to do going into that game against Georgia at the end of the month.
whipping around the SEC as we're wrapping up with our buddy Connor Riley. Make sure you check out his work at Dog Nation. How much did the loss to USC hurt LSU's chances in the SEC?
I think it's going to be tough for them to make the playoff, but it's not impossible. You know, yes, they do have a tough SEC slate, but they just lost the game in a very like week one kind of fashion. It wasn't, I think, anything like systemic and long-term issues. They played at USC pretty even. USC made a play or two late that LSU didn't, and that was the difference in the game. They were hanging with USC. They were leading for a good chunk of that game. I know Brian Kelly's upset and frustrated, and you know, people can clown him today, but I think that's a game that they kind of just gave away, and so my long-term view of LSU doesn't change. I didn't have them as a playoff team to start the season, but I could certainly see them playing their way into that. It becomes a little bit harder to play your way into that now when you lose a game like that at the beginning of the season, knowing that you might have one, maybe two SEC losses. But if you're able to get the right amount of wins with the schedule that they have, they could very well be a factor there for making the playoff at the end of the season. And I liked what I saw to Garrett Nussmeier. They have some nice skill position talent. And I really like USC's offense this year. So I thought the defense for it to play as well as it did for the most part, I think that's an encouraging step in the right direction for a staff that was in its first game as a defensive staff.
I know we just talked about how you can't glean much of anything when you're facing, you know, less than, you know, the Chattanoogas of the world in the case of Tennessee and Furman, as you just described, for Ole Miss. But just as an overall thought, Connor, the SEC and the quarterbacks, I mean, this is as deep as I can remember the conference being with some of the guys out there.
It's improved. It's young. You've got Jackson Arnold at Oklahoma, a guy I know Georgia really liked a lot. You know, Nico, we'll see what he does when he starts to face better competition there. It's a lot of promising talent. It's a lot of proven talent as well. Jackson Dart, his third year as a quarterback for Ole Miss. Quinn Ewers, same at Texas. And this is sort of the year of the quarterback for the SEC, and Georgia maybe represents that better than anyone with Carson Beck, his fifth year in the program, second year as a starter, and a guy a lot of people see as someone who can be the best quarterback in all of college football.
All right, Connor, appreciate the time. As always, make sure you give him a follow at K Connor Riley and check him out at Dog Nation. Connor, appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Yep, thanks, Chris.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.